And at a stop before he arrived in South Korea, he told U.S. troops at a U.S. airbase in Japan,
"The United States of America will always seek peace. We will ever strive for a better future. But you, the instruments of American power, know. And let our adversaries know. All options are on the table."
Philadelphia is now celebrating its long-awaited Super Bowl victory with a big parade that's begun in the City of Brotherly Love. That Eagles parade starting in South Philly, it's going to end up at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And so people can attend at city schools, city offices, and the court system in the city are all closed today. Remember, we're online. You can catch us there anytime at usaradio.com.
Hey, it's Brandon. I'm trying to get you to stick to your New Year's resolution. If you want to do anything well, it all starts with getting a good night's rest. The folks at MyPillow want to help you get that deep sleep you need. That's why they extended their best offer ever through January. Buy one MyPillow and get another one absolutely free. But you only have 2 weeks left to order, so do this right now. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One Free special, and enter promo code USA. Or call 800-951-8175. And be sure to use the promo code USA to get this offer.
The former Subway restaurant spokesman who was convicted of child pornography says he was treated unfairly because the judge in the case has teenage daughters. Jared Fogle arguing in a court filing this week that the judge demonstrated bias against him because she had two teenage daughters at the time and that his case involved a teenage prostitute. Turning to some much lighter news, a famous cartoon van got in a bit of hot water, as we hear from USA Radio's Wendy King.
Where are you? Three backpackers sleeping in a van that was painted like Scooby-Doo's mystery machine woke up to find their vehicle partly submerged in Australian floodwaters.
Yeah, but then what happened to Daphne?
I don't know.
A video posted to Facebook by Pyramid Views shows the van submerged almost up to its roof while parked at a picnic area in Gordonvale, Queensland.
Jinkies!
Queensland Fire and Rescue Officer Guy Bulmer was first on the scene. He said the water was all the way up to the window and the three backpackers were up on the roof.
Sharks!
Also, there was a crocodile sign almost right next to the vehicle.
Every man for himself!
Officers helped the campers travel from the roof of the van to dry land.
Hey, Daphne, you're okay now!
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Ah, those meddling kids. Anyway, for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll have the results of my Facebook poll where I ask the question, have you ever dated someone you worked with? I'll also be talking about why you should separate your personal social media accounts from your business ones. I'll talk about side hustles and give you examples of 11 of them that could turn into full-time businesses. And from the It's Never Too Late department, I'll have 9 New Year's resolutions for all small businesses. It's Thursday, February 8th, 2018. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. As always, we start with the weather. It's currently 30 degrees at 12:05, and today it'll be partly sunny with a high of 32 and a low of 15. For tomorrow, it'll be sunny early, then turning cloudy with a high of 35 and a low of 30. For Saturday, it'll be mostly cloudy and milder with a high of 48 and a low of 37. And for Sunday, we'll have periods of rain throughout the day, a high of 47 and a low of 31. You are listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And we've been taking care of business.
And a current look at the financial market shows that the Dow is currently down 298.59 to 24,594.76. The NASDAQ down 76.14 to 6975.85. S&P 500 is down 22.72 to 2658.94. Oil down 99 cents to $60.80 per barrel. And gold is up $5.10 to $1,319.70 an ounce. Well, once again, good afternoon and welcome to the program. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gannot, and I am the host of this program and the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. Again, so glad that we can get together as we do every Thursday at this time. Next Thursday, as I've been mentioning over the course of the last 2 years, I'm going to take a break, take a week off. We're going to be heading out to Huntington, Long Island for my son's wedding, so there will be no program next week. We'll do a replay probably of the interview that we did with the folks from the Huntington Central Workplace Readiness Program. But looking forward to the wedding and getting together with about 195 people to party and celebrate the wedding of my son. So looking forward to that. So again, no live show anyway. Next week. If you're listening to the program, chances are you're on the internet, either streaming this live on Facebook or listening to our Huntington Chamber Radio audio podcast. And if you are, we'd like you to take a chance, take a moment to open up a new URL and go to Facebook and then like our new page just for this program. It's called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. And like and follow that page. You'll get some midweek updates. Good chance that you'll be able to participate in some polls that we do. We have one coming up a little bit later on as it pertains to the hashtag MeToo movement. So hopefully you'll get a little bit more involved in the program. At this time every week on the show, we talk about the business quote of the week. And this week it comes from Roger Penske, the captain, as it were, since this is the week when NASCAR will kick off its 2018 season with the Daytona Dash, which is two 150 mile segments. But this is what's going to set the grid for the Daytona 500 next Sunday on the 18th. It comes to us from Roger Penske. And this, Roger's a great businessman. For everything that he does, you got to give the guy a lot of credit, whether it's a NASCAR owner or Penske Leasing or equipment, et cetera. Roger is a genius, and he's a very hardworking man. But what he tells his staff, what he tells his employees is that the unfair advantage is simply working harder than your competition to find a way to win. Obviously, that could be applied in racing. If you're willing to work harder, if you're willing to put in more hours, you'll find a way to win. You know, you're going to come across an aerodynamic advantage. You might come across 10 horsepower more when building an engine, and that's enough to give you that advantage to cross the finish line first. The same thing can be said of any business, and it doesn't matter whether you're running a trophy store or a liquor store or anything else, how you approach your business. I mean, if you're just going to unlock the door every day, flick on the open sign, and wait for customers to come to you, you'll make a living, but you could probably be doing a whole lot more. If you embrace social media, advertising, promotion, get people into your store, have them go to your website, connect with them on an emotional level, on a relationship level in social media, chances are they're going to want to do business with you. They're going to want to refer their friends to you as well. So That's where that unfair advantage comes in. You have to simply work harder than your competition to find a way to win. And let's face it, in business, it's just like sports. It's a competition. You know, you want to sell more than your competition, whether you're a dress shop, like I said, a liquor store, a trophy shop. It doesn't matter what you do, a car dealership. You want to sell more than your competition. That's what's going to keep you in business. And so finding, working harder than your competition, you'll win every single time. Did I mention sports? I did mention sports. So let's talk about that for just a minute. Everybody now. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. Oh, man, I can't tell you how happy I was on Sunday night as a lifelong, long-suffering fan of the Philadelphia Eagles to see them defeat the New England Patriots 41-33. Could not believe the fumble with 2 minutes to go. Didn't want to give Brady the ball back at all, and I knew as soon as he got the ball back, we were in trouble. But what a game. So happy of my Philadelphia Eagles. And to be honest, and I've told many people this, cried like a baby when they won. Not just because they were my team, but, you know, thinking back to all the times that I used to watch Eagles games with my father and, you know, sitting on the couch watching games with him and how special that was for us. And now all of a sudden, you know, he wasn't around anymore to share that moment with, and all he ever wanted was an Eagles championship, and now here it was. And even though he's been gone 4 years, it just, you know, kind of brought back a lot of memories, and like I said, cried like a baby. So congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles. Enjoy the parade today. I was watching a little bit of that on WCAU TV on their live stream, and it looked like a great time with a whole lot of people heading down to Philadelphia today. And then I went to Modell's the other night at the Somerville Circle. And I just wanted to buy a T-shirt that said, you know, Eagles, Super Bowl champions. So I'm walking around the store, and I don't see anything. So I finally, you know, a manager comes over, and he goes, can I help you? I said, well, yeah, you don't have any Eagles gear? He goes, oh, no. He goes, we do everything regionally. This is basically a New York store. So if you want anything from the Giants or the Jets or the Rangers or, you know, Yankees and Mets, you know, we'll have all. I said, I don't want that. I want the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And they're like, well, we don't carry that. You'll have to go to Warminster, Pennsylvania, or Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. And I said, or you can go online. I said, if I go online, it's not going to be to Modell's. It's going to be, you know, to NFLShop.com. The fact that you won't service all of the fans instead of just a couple of select few fans. So I will be getting my Eagles gear, just not from Modell's. All right. So took a survey last night. There's a lot of talk with the hashtag MeToo movement. This has been going on for several months. It's no surprise. Steve Wynn had to step down as the Republican finance chair. He had to step down from leading the Wynn Resorts, his own, you know, namesake resorts. And it seems as if every morning men wake up in America going, is today the day? Is today the day that she's going to say something and make a complaint about me? You see it in Hollywood. You see it in politics. You see it in business. So I took a survey last night, and the question was, have you ever dated a coworker? And the reason that I did was this was an article in the Wall Street Journal earlier this week. And, you know, there's a lot of industries that are grappling with sexual harassment crises, and more companies are questioning whether they need to set clear ground rules on dating at the office. HR departments at companies like Facebook and Google have crafted dating policies to ensure that workers feel safe. And some employers have even resorted to so-called love contracts, documents in which both members of a relationship confirm that they weren't coerced into dating and that they agree to behave professionally while at work. Just the same, office romance is on the decline. Some 36% of U.S. employees say they have dated a coworker, according to a 2017 survey from CareerBuilder, which is a 10-year low and a 5 percentage point decline from 2016. So the question was, what's your take? You know, is dating a coworker ever a good idea? And, you know, so I put the question out there on Facebook last night, got a bunch of responses, about 30 responses altogether. And the numbers are a little different than what the Wall Street Journal came up with. All I asked people, I said I would not name names or anything like that. Just simple yes or no. Have you ever? And so as of just before we came on the air, it looks as if 18 people said that, yes, they have indeed dated a coworker. One woman said she married him, then divorced him. But they did meet in the workplace. And 11 people said that, no, they would never or no, they never have dated a coworker. So about 55% are saying, yes, they actually have dated a coworker. And it was surprising to me because I dated one girl when I worked in a deli. So I don't know if that counts when you're a teenager. And not really dated. We went on one date. So wasn't really sure that this is as prevalent as it was. And some people admitted this was like during a high school job or something like that. Most said, no, this happened a lot, even after, when they were in adult life. So just an interesting take on dating in the workplace, and is it appropriate? What are your thoughts on that? You can email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. We're also on WHCRDB, so if you have a digital player, you can also check us out there at WHCRDB. They often talk about mixing business with pleasure. We just talked about it before the break, about dating coworkers. This is going to be a different topic. Why you shouldn't mix your personal and business social media accounts. Now, when you mix business and pleasure online, you risk alienating customers and missing out on the advantage of using professional accounts. Now, social media can be a powerful marketing tool to help your business grow online, but as platforms like Facebook and Instagram become more popular, both for business and pleasure, the lines between the professional have become blurred. So to establish a strong online presence for your business, social media marketing is an absolute must. It's a free, effective way to get your brand out there for customers to discover, and you can connect with potential customers, hone in on your target audience, and promote your products and services, all while boosting your business's search engine optimization, or SEO. Now, with all this digital freedom at your disposal, however, it is important to establish a professional online presence for your business that is separate from your personal life. So here are the top reasons to keep your personal social media accounts separate from your business accounts. First, what do customers find when they search social media for your business? You want to find out as you scan your Facebook or something like that. If they're honed in on your personal page, what are they seeing that's going to make them want to do business with you or not do business with you? So the first thing is accountability and personal views. Now, social media is a great platform to share your opinions and tell friends and family what's going on in your life. But as a business owner, you have a responsibility to your customers to keep these things out of the equation. Your personal views should always be kept off social media to not unintentionally offend potential customers. This is crucial when it comes to religious and political views. Once you put anything out there, you are responsible for it, and you will be held accountable by customers. So make sure you're keeping a professional and unbiased presence across all platforms. I had a story on this a couple of months ago where if you say it, you own it. And one gentleman said that he had to, he was going off social media because people were telling him that because he was so pro-Hillary, pro-Democratic, bashing Trump every day, he finally said, I have to stop this. It's affecting my business. Customers are telling me they don't want to do business with me as a result. So if you had that opinion on your personal page, that's okay. But on your business page, absolutely not. Keep it neutral. This is a time when you want to be Switzerland. Don't let people know what your biases are. Did I break that rule today by telling you that I love the Philadelphia Eagles? Yeah, I've probably pissed off a bunch of New York Giant fans. But, you know, after waiting 56 years for a Super Bowl, I think I'm entitled to at least one. Focus on your target audience. If you keep a social media account that serves as both a personal and business outlet, you are trying to combine two audiences that may not be compatible. Basically, you're mixing friends, family, professional associates, and potential customers, which can cause you to lose sight of your business's true mission. When you keep a separate business profile, you can focus on promoting your products and services without being distracted by friends and family. And this will allow you to create content that is relevant to potential customers instead of mixing in information about your personal life. So here there's a real fine line because a lot of your customers you may feel are your friends. And so going to them now and saying, I know we're friends on Facebook, but I need you to like me on my office page or on my professional page. You know, do you feel you would alienate them? You just have to be able to know the dividing line. A lot of times if you post something that is business related and then, you know, your brother-in-law pipes in and says, well, that's not what you told me last Saturday. You know, that could be bad. You know, so you got to make sure that if it's personal, leave it personal. If it's professional, leave it professional. And then finally, as with everything on social media, it comes down to your SEO and your metrics. Now, when you try to use a personal social media account for your business affairs, you're actually hurting your overall SEO. Search engines will not read personal accounts as business pages, and as a result, could rank your company lower on search results pages. You could have a ton of engagement under your personal name. People love you. Oh, I love that dress that you had in the show that you posted a picture of if you own a dress shop. Or I love the car you posted, you know, if you're a used car salesman or something like that. But if it's under your personal name, it's not helping your business. And also, you'd miss out on the business-oriented analytic tools that can assist you in gauging your success with posts and engagement with followers. For example, with a Facebook business page, you view detailed metrics to see what content is most popular with your followers and get demographic information about your audience. Now, while keeping separate accounts is more work at first, your business will benefit from being focused on building a rapport with your intended audience without inundating them with personal content. So, again, personal versus professional, always keep them separate in everything. You know, don't do business on a personal account either. I had a gentleman the other day, he was calling me about every other day. And I always have my cell phone on my business card because when we're closed, I want people to know that they can get a hold of me. But he was using that as like a private line. And I was like, we really have to make sure that you're calling in on the office line. I'll be glad to talk to you at any time, but I need to keep this line open for personal reasons and I don't want to miss something. If you send me a text message, I may not see it till 10 o'clock at night, and I may have missed the opportunity to order material that you need to pick up the next day. So we always make sure that people are trying to call in on that company line and not on a personal line. Let's talk for a minute about the side hustle. Now, this is a topic that you hear a lot. What's your side hustle? What, you know, used to be people just called it an extra job, but now it's called a side hustle. For me, I have I've had three or four of them at any given time. For 34 years, I've always had my announcing that I do for local sports teams, for the Skyland Conference, for the state. I've done house painting and general repairs, and I've also been a writer, either as a newspaper reporter, magazine reporter, writing fictional novels. So those are my side hustles. But there are 11 side hustles that you can start doing right now if you have a certain amount of talent and also the time that you can actually turn into full-time businesses. So if you want to earn more money or freedom from the corporate grind, consider turning your part-time home business into full-time self-employment. Side hustles are the big thing for young professionals and experienced workers alike. Now, while you can only budget so much, your earning potential is basically unlimited. If you are looking to start a business or just want to earn a bit more to fix up your finances, a side hustle could be the perfect way to start. If you do things right, it could lead to a full-time, self-employed income. So here I have 11 side hustle businesses that are perfect for part-time to full-time conversion. The first is website development. Websites are the hub of online business today. You're viewing a website at this very moment. If you have the skills to build a website, there is someone out there willing to pay you for it. Now, depending on your level of skill, you can build anything from basic business websites for local companies all the way up to advanced functioning apps. The more advanced skills you have, the more you can charge. But you can start with a basic knowledge of WordPress and HTML and build up from there. If you love learning, a good challenge, and computers, this is a great side hustle. A great place to start is a marketplace like Upwork. A second one would be freelance writing. Now, I have a soft spot for freelance writing, as writing is the core of what I've been doing for many years. I started writing pretty much, you know, right out of college. Whether it was working for the Courier News or other things, I would cover stories, sell them to the papers, and off we went. Writing is not as easy as some may think. You always have to be selling, bringing on new clients, and delivering high-quality content consistently over time. To succeed in writing, it's best to pick a niche where you have a strong background and a deep knowledge. If you have knowledge of an in-demand topic and elite writing skills, freelance writing is a great side hustle and something that you can make good money at. But again, you're going to have to be the one hustling you. So if you write articles about computers, for instance, and you want to sell them to magazines, you're the one that's got to get them, you know, the editor of that magazine to want to buy. Graphic design is another one. You know, I know Photoshop about as well as I know my way around launching rockets, but if you know how to create art and graphics on a computer, you have a prime skill set that's in much demand for today. Now, everyone from big businesses to small app developers needs high-quality images to draw in and keep visitors to their websites and digital products. If you have the right skill set, there are plenty of gigs out there on various marketplaces, so make sure, again, you can do this independently and go after new businesses, or sometimes you can use other sites like Fiverr and 99 Designs and sell your wares there. Home maintenance is another great one. While the internet offers amazing opportunities to earn from the comfort of your home, sometimes you have to get out and put your best skills to use. So if you're handy around the house, you can put those skills to use in other people's houses and get paid for it. Think about building a deck, painting, small carpentry, things like that. Like website design, this is a great way to learn new skills as you work. So, you know, it may not be the best thing to try to fix toilets, because if there's a leak, the customer is going to, you know, be mad at you. But let's say you've built a couple of decks and you're very good at it and you've built quality decks, then maybe you want to build three or four decks a season and make some good money along the way. Also, one of the easiest ones, there's a gentleman named Keith Kalfas, K-A-L-F-A-S, who has a great social media page about getting into lawn care and even window washing. But lawn and garden care, so if you're handy with a rake, a lawnmower, and a shovel, you know everything you know or you need basically to start landscaping, lawn, and garden care as a side hustle. During warm weather months, you can mow the lawn, rake the leaves, prune the roses, and keep the yard of your neighbors in tip-top shape. And in the winter, you can always shovel driveways and keep the yard looking nice as well. So in my neighborhood, I'm the exception. Just about everybody has somebody cutting their lawn. They're charging $50, $60 per cut. So not a bad, you know, side gig if it's something that you can do. Obviously, if you have a regular 9-to-5 job, there's just so many lawns you're going to be able to take on. And if it rains on Saturday and Sunday, you know, you could be struggling to complete all that work. Another one, if you're good with numbers, is bookkeeping and tax prep. So if you're good at math or have business school background, you likely know enough to handle basic bookkeeping and tax preparation for small businesses. So if you're going to help with tax prep, make sure you are compliant with local and state regulations and licensing requirements. It's a great hustle, and it's one that's in major need. If you're good at baking and catering, let's say you just want to sell cakes or cupcakes or something like that, another great side hustle. Work out of your home, sell them, things like that. You also have to watch with local health codes and laws here, but a lot of times just word of mouth will get you started. Furniture building. I love to build furniture, Adirondack chairs, things like that. I could turn that into a side hustle in no time. Build about 5 chairs, put them on the front lawn with a price tag. A great way for you, if you have the tools and the skills, a great way for you to make a good side hustle. A music teacher is another great one. If you can teach kids how to play an instrument, play piano, maybe be a voice coach, a great way for you to make extra money as a side hustle. And that, a lot of times with the customers that I know, they started teaching piano in their home. They got so many clients, they eventually opened a studio. Then they started selling instruments, a great way to easily turn that into a full-time position. Home care companion. You know, with an aging population, as people grow older, they need a little more help around the house. Medical care generally requires a licensed nurse, but anyone can help with the basic home care tasks, cleaning, getting people to certain appointments, things like that. So make sure that first check with any licensing needs, but if it's just a matter of helping, you know, an elderly person that you know and being able to get paid for it, it's something that you could also expand and bring more people on. And another good one is event planning. Things like weddings, corporate events, bar mitzvahs. These are events virtually every day of the year. And if you have strong organizational and communication skills, you have what it takes to start an event planning business. So, again, a lot of corporations need event planners to handle big events. People getting married want to make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So make sure that if you have those skills and you're organized, feel free to start an event planning business, and especially don't forget the corporate market. It's one of those things that there is a tremendous need there. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about, even though it's February, 9 New Year's resolutions that you can still make for all small businesses. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The federal government running out of money again at midnight tonight, so there are concerns once again of a shutdown. The Senate's to vote on a 2-year spending deal, followed by a House vote later today. But there, House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi says she and other Democrats won't support the deal unless House Speaker Paul Ryan makes the same commitment that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell did in the Senate to open up debate on immigration, especially pertaining to so-called Dreamers, right after the budget issues are resolved.
And leave the rest for another day. But build confidence and make this a first step.
This morning, Speaker Paul Ryan said he's confident he has the votes to pass the 2-year deal today. From Washington to Philadelphia. Tens of thousands of fans of the Super Bowl champion Eagles have turned out for a huge parade. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
Associated Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com and WHCRDB. I'm your host, Jim Gano. So glad you could join me on this Thursday afternoon. Beautiful Thursday afternoon. It's sunny. It's warm. I got a lot of running around to do today and in preparation for my son's wedding. So we are, down to the wire here. We've got a week to go. So I'm looking forward to it. And, of course, now everybody, you had 2 years to plan for it. And now, of course, in the last week, everybody's pulling their hair out. So I am the errand boy, and I will get everything done. I mentioned this next story because this is something that I keep, and last week I spent a lot of time on it as well. New Year's resolutions, New Year's goals in business, how do you go about them? And I talked about last week how I really wanted people to be specific. So specific, measurable, actionable, things like that. The SMART diagram, if you will. And we talked about how when you say I'm going to lose weight, you can't say I'm going to lose weight this year. You have to say I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to lose 20 pounds by June 30th, things like that. There has to be a plan. Same thing in business. And it's, you know, can you you can say I want to grow my business, but by how much? Dollar-wise, percentage-wise, I'm going to add an employee. I'm going to buy a new piece of equipment. These are the types of things. I want it to be measurable, something that's attainable. So there's 9 New Year's resolutions for small businesses that I found that I should have done in one of our January shows, but it's not too late. I want to make sure people understand this. It is never too late to do a reboot, to do a pivot and say, damn it, today is when I'm going to start working harder, working smarter, getting my crew on board with what I want to accomplish this year. So now that we're celebrating hopefully what was a productive year in 2017, you also have to look ahead. And looking ahead means not just at today and what's going to happen tomorrow. By now, you should be forecasting where are you at in relation to your first quarter goals. What will you need to do to achieve your second, third, and fourth quarter goals? So now that we've passed, you know, New Year's Eve, we've already got January in the books, it's time to start putting away the champagne and the party hats and start talking about how are we going to get there. The first is to remain focused on enhancing your customer experience. I've spent a lot of time over the last month or two talking with our customers. And when they say, hey, you guys did a great job. Hey, I really appreciate how fast you got that work done. Hey, you know, the price is perfect. I ask them, do you have 2 minutes? Do you have, you know, a couple minutes? I want to just talk to you about it. Because I want to know, is it just lip service or do they mean it? And a lot of times what I'm getting back is they've shopped elsewhere. They've come to us. They've been treated well, got a fair price, got a great product. Maybe we beat their deadline, and they enjoy that. Everything about the customer experience, from the first phone call to when they walk in the door, your website, social media pages, all of that has to be bundled up, and it has to be perfect. It has to be great. It has, and you have to keep trying to improve it. So whether you have a physical business, an online store, or both, many people would likely say that improving the customer experience should be one of your top priorities in 2018. But why does that matter? Well, research indicates that a close connection between positive customer experiences and loyalty results in more sales. Loyal customers buy more, have a stronger likelihood of forgiving mistakes, and will trust the company to act on their behalf and offer referrals. Now, if you have a retail business, you could emphasize obtaining feedback as much as possible, particularly after people buy things either online or in person. Ask your customers if you've met their needs and if there's anything you could have done better in the process. Also, you want to create some volunteer opportunities for your employees. A large body of research shows that how volunteerism benefits communities, the workplace, and others. So in choosing ways for employees to volunteer their time in 2018, ensure the options that you research result in clear impacts. And also pick volunteer programs that include everyone. You could do that by going with choices that allow your small business's employees to help out in a variety of ways. Consider checking out volunteer possibilities that create business visibility while helping others. Are you a bakery owner? In that case, you may want to whip up a large batch of goodies and send your employees to distribute them to a local homeless shelter. Or if there's a large event, providing food, providing water, things like that. But make sure that your employees are branded with your logo as well. Also, you want to explore ways to have shorter but more worthwhile meetings. Your staff doesn't want to sit in a meeting for a half an hour. Have an agenda, have a couple of topics, get in, get out. The respondents of a study about wasted time work said they spent up to 31 hours in unproductive meetings every month. So the time you waste at your small business may not be that bad, but you probably would spend more time than you'd like sitting in meetings that seem basically pointless. So decide to evaluate your methods that could result in worthier meetings that don't go on forever. You might rigidly stick to an agenda during a gathering or try a meeting for 10 minutes each morning to go over pressing matters so people don't have to bring them up for the first time in a longer meeting setting. Also, stay aware of the challenges faced by older employees. I always change this to by all of your employees. Doesn't matter whether they're 25 or 55, everybody has personal challenges. Make sure, if they're willing to share, that you know what's going on. A daughter in college is feeling like she's picked on or doesn't have friends. A son in school is complaining that he's being bullied. An older employee that's having trouble with health care for their parents or something like that, or home care for their parents. Get involved and know what's going on so that if they call in late one day, you're not pissed off. You understand, as long as it's not being abused. Now, it's hard to find a tremendous amount of research that describes how people who manage millennials need to understand the personality traits and lifestyles of individuals from that age group and how they might affect work output and career satisfaction. It's important to realize that people who are near retirement deserve that attention too. They face specific circumstances that would cause them to retire earlier than they desire in some cases. For example, research from the Employee Benefit Research Institute found many older adults had to adjust their workloads due to health complications experienced by a spouse or other family member. Also, the study discovered women tended to be more cognizant than men of the need for a work-life balance. Some elements of work could become more strenuous as people get older. Remember, recovery from illnesses and injuries can take longer with age, too. So if you own a construction company, one thoughtful thing you could do is allow an older person who's just gotten the go-ahead to go back to work after breaking an arm to split time between hard labor and office duties. However, if you give that kind of treatment to an older person, make sure to offer the same to a younger worker. Otherwise, you could be accused of workplace inequality. Also, get informed about any tax-related changes. This is a good time to call your accountant and say, with this new tax change, what do I need to do both for my business and what do I need to do for my employees? Like many small business owners, you may not be a tax expert, but letting an accountant figure out your tax burden is a good start. And also, take time to ask a professional whether there have been any advantageous tax law differences in the last year. You could notice a difference with a bigger refund. The information should help you plan for new legislation that could result in higher tax rates as well. And you want to create a detailed and accurate map of the area. Many small businesses keep huge databases about their customers' habits, but fall short when gathering details about where they live. By choosing to build a continually updated map associated with your company, its vicinity, and your customers, it'll be easier for you to see where most of your customers live and areas to target with marketing materials and so on. We had a gentleman who owned a store, one of our Crown Trophy stores in Henderson, Nevada. And in my first 2 years, he kind of took me under his wing and he said, I want you to do something. At the end of the year, analyze your sales. And I'm willing to bet that if you were to draw a circle of where all your customers live, it would go no further than 7 miles away from your store. So after the first and second year, I did that. 95% of my customers live within 7 miles of our store. Now, that presented a dilemma for me because I had to figure out how could I get to that 10-mile mark or that 12-mile mark. I'm in Flemington. Clinton, the next biggest town, is 10 miles away. Bridgewater is 12. Lambertville is 12. So how could I expand that circle? And that gave me the indication I needed to do more marketing in those areas, but not forget about that core business that was sitting here locally. You also want to implement an employee wellness program. HR managers often discuss the various benefits of employee wellness initiatives, and by starting such a program at your small business in 2018, you can encourage people to become more active, get on a schedule going to annual checkups, and make individuals more aware of how their actions and lifestyles could affect how they feel. Maybe you want to pay for a gym membership or something like that, or start a walking club at lunch. Something that's going to get people up and motivated. You also want to add more relevant content to your company's blog. Now, it's not enough to simply have a blog. You have to also update it with content that your customers want to read. In the coming year, try to develop a sensible content plan that lets you periodically post new information that engages readers. You may want to look at a calendar and say, in March, I'm going to post about this, in May, this, in June, this. Make sure you have a schedule so that at the last minute, you're not trying to put it all together and it's really not as effective. and you want to come up with some best practices for managing your social media accounts. Now, word travels fast on social media. That's one of the prime reasons you should invest time into monitoring your social media accounts. And additionally, you want to discuss the matter with your staff and decide the best ways to handle disgruntled customers or trolls who don't add to the conversations. Otherwise, your reputation could become tarnished before you realize what's happening, and you'll spend too much time on ineffective techniques. And after reviewing this list, you should have a couple of great ideas of plans for the coming year. And it's also probably obvious why these possibilities benefit you, your employees, and the business at large. So a couple of thoughts on how you can improve your business, and still there's time in the year to get that done. So, you know, make sure that you're always working on that customer experience. Currently 12:45, we're going to step away for our last break. When we come back, we're going to talk about why using your words is so important in business. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio and WHCR-DB. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of Taking Care of Business and the owner of Crown Trophy of Flemington here in the borough over in the Staples Shopping Center. And again, glad you could join us. Just a reminder, next week we're going to be replaying the interview with the Workplace Readiness Program over at Hunterdon Central High School. I will be heading out to Huntington, Long Island for my son's wedding next weekend, and looking forward to that. So taking a week off, and you're probably tired of listening to me anyway, so you can listen to the rebroadcast of that interview. we have a joke in our family. Sometimes, you know, if you ever notice the times when you're trying to say something, you can't find the right words. My kids are very quick at jumping on us, like, use your words, Dad. Use your words, Mom. So use your words. Language in business is very important. And there's certain words, like go-to words, very easy words, that kind of minimize the impact, if you will, of what you're trying to say. So how do you use language for great customer service at every touch point? That's what we're going to go over here for the next couple of minutes. So what I want you to start thinking about is approaching every communication with your customers as an opportunity to spark a connection, to gain their trust, and to earn their loyalty. Are you paying attention to your touch points? They are, after all, the biggest opportunity you have to build trust with your customers. From the receptionist answering the phone, to your email correspondence, to the decor in your office, every interaction presents a chance to either delight or disappoint. But how exactly can touch points be delightful? Well, let's start looking at what it's like to communicate with your business. What sort of experiences do you create? Is it charming and delightful, or drab and ho-hum? Your communications with customers come in many different forms, including the phone, your website, and also with emails. So on the phone, are your calls answered quickly by a human voice? Is the phone on the other end of the phone friendly and helpful? And I want you to think as we go through this story about experiences you've had with other companies. I was in a dealership the other day getting a repair done on my truck, and you know, when the phone rang, I just heard the guy saying, hello, not even the name of the company. Yes, we do tire rotation. Yes, we do oil change. It was like he was so annoyed to have to be on that phone. And I'm sure the person on the other end felt that as well. Also, your website. Is your website user-friendly and simple to navigate? Is all the information a customer would expect available and easy to find? Name, address, phone number, email, a way to contact you, your location, all of that. Is it there? That should be at the very minimum what you include in a website. Are you opening with a friendly greeting, summarizing what you hope to accomplish with the correspondence? Are you clearly stating what you may need from the recipient? Using a friendly tone. Yes, even in your invoices goes a long way in creating a positive connection with customers. Every communication offers an opportunity to consistently spark a connection with your customers and to gain their trust. Why? Because your customers are human, of course. We all know that humans are emotional, especially when it comes to purchasing decisions, and language has a huge effect on all human emotions. We buy the sizzle, not the bacon, after all. I used to work with a company, and when I was doing some turnaround for them and consulting, I had a customer who came to me one day, angry as all get out, and he said, if you want to do any business with me, you're going to go get, this is back in the early 90s, you're going to go get a pager. And you're going to give me that pager number, and anytime I need you, I'm going to call you, and you will call me back and take my order. I said, well, you can call our receptionist, and she'll be glad to help. He goes, nope, I'm not talking to that woman ever again. She's nasty. She's impolite. I don't want to deal with her. I want to deal with you. What did I do? I went out, and I got a pager. And every time it beeped, I would call the gentleman back. How can I help you? Is it worth it? Yeah. It's a $1.5 million account. Absolutely, I'm going to take his pages day or night. It didn't matter. But what it taught me was I had to start listening to my receptionist, and as a result, I realized she hated people. She was going through a nasty divorce. She didn't want anything to do with people. She was in the wrong job to be the face of the business. But she was great at accounting and bookkeeping. So I asked her, could I take you off the phones and put you in the back room where you'll do accounting and everything? And she was so thankful. She goes, you don't understand. I just don't want to deal with people right now. And she goes, I'm normally a very friendly person. I was like, great. So don't deal with people. Deal with numbers. And then we got somebody else in who was a lot more friendly, and eventually I could get rid of the pager because once he had a few interactions with her, he was okay with it again. So whether it's a word change or the tone of voice, things like that, they always talk about, you know, when you talk, smile so that it forces you to sound a little more upbeat. That's why even the slightest word changes can have a drastic impact on your message. And as a result, your customer's emotions. So think about some of these examples. If you were to tell a customer that your product is the cheapest, what would they think? Are they thinking price or are they thinking quality? Or could you tell them it's less expensive or it's inexpensive? The two words basically mean the same thing, but one has a little bit of a softer undertone to it. Are you happy or delighted? yes or absolutely, colorful or vibrant. All of these words, again, basically mean and sound the same, but how they're received on the other end goes a long way. So technically, you can use either word in the above examples interchangeably, but one option carries an emotional punch that the other just doesn't have. If you want more proof, let's take a look at some of those actions or some of those examples in action. So let's say there's a standard apology email that you might receive from a customer service outfit, and it reads something like this. Hello, Sally. Thank you for your inquiry. Our sincere apologies for the error made on your billing account. This error has been corrected, and the $50 charge is no longer being billed to your account. This will show as a credit on your next invoice. Please give us a call at 800-555-5555 if there's anything else you need. Sincerely, customer service. All right, so the person knows they're getting a $50 credit, but it really, you know, didn't do anything to, you couldn't really tell if there was any emotion attached to it. Sally may have gotten her problem solved, but I'm sure she's not feeling any emotional connection to that company as a result. So how could she, with that robotic, unfeeling language? Here's how, if you spruce it up just a little bit. Hi, Sally. Thank you for reaching out. I'm sorry there was an error made in your account. That's a pretty embarrassing mistake on our end. The good news is that it's been corrected, and you'll have a $50 credit on your next invoice to show for it. My apologies again for the error, Sally, and please don't hesitate to reach out if I might be able to help you with anything else. I'm here from you. All the best. Customer service. When I say customer service, it should have a rep's name, not just customer service. You can feel the difference, right? The message is exactly the same in both emails. Sorry about the error. I fixed it. Let me know if I can do anything else. But one draws you in and makes you smile while the other one bores you to tears. Let's look at another example. This time, a phone conversation. And tell me you haven't had a few of these in your days. Hi, this is Bob Smith, and I'm calling to update my address. The rep says, I'd be happy to help. May I have your account number? Sure, it's 12345. Thank you. May I please have your new address? It's 1234 some street. Thank you. One moment. Then they go on hold. Okay, sir, I've updated your account. Is there anything else I can help you with today? And you'll notice that the customer service rep was perfectly polite and didn't do anything out of line, but boy, that was tough to read. I'll bet you're thinking about some of your very own similar experiences right now. When you reflect on that experience, doesn't it make you feel particularly loyal to the company providing you that customer service? Probably not. But what if it sounded more like this? Hi, this is Bob Smith, and I'm calling to update my address. Hey, Bob, I'd be delighted to help you with that. I hope you're loving your new place. Can I start with your account number? I sure am, and it's 12345. That's great to hear. And thanks for the info. Now, let's get your address updated. Where are your awesome new digs? And then the customer laughs at, well, my awesome new digs are 1234 Sum Street. Oh, that's a great neighborhood. Congrats on the new place. I know moving can be a bit stressful, but rest assured that your new address is in our system and your account here is all set. Is there anything else I may be able to help you with today? So not only did the rep in the second example make the conversation more fun, they connected with the customer and tapping into his excitement about moving. This was an opportunity to forge a customer connection, and they nailed it. So the next time you're tempted to just go through the motions, stop for a second. Listen to what the customer is saying, and then try to make it more engaging. So that's it for customer service. Hopefully you'll get a little bit out of that. And don't be shy about listening to your customer service reps and making sure that they're passing that on to your customers as well. In sports. That's right. Fly, Eagles, fly. In the NFL Super Bowl 52 is in the books, and the Eagles, led by backup quarterback Nick Foles, defeated the New England Patriots 41-33, and their victory parade is going on right now in Philadelphia. Congratulations to my beloved Philadelphia Eagles. I promise that will be the last time I play this until next Super Bowl when we repeat. In the NCAA men's basketball, the AP Top 25 has Villanova in the top spot, followed by Virginia, Purdue, Michigan State, and Xavier in the top five, followed by Cincinnati, Texas Tech, Auburn, Duke, and Kansas rounding out the top 10. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the program with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day, and maybe it can help you in yours. When he said, never let it rest till your good is better and your better is best. I'm Jim Gano, and if you have any questions or ideas for upcoming programming topics, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And again, I am Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by family.